Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick, Vatican Radio. I'm about to join Father James Mallon from the parish of St. Benedict in Canada to find out more about a programme designed to welcome people outside the church, one rooted in the local parish and attended by 19 million people in over 65 countries. It's the Alpha Project, run by churches from many denominations in an effort to introduce people to the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. I met up with Father Mallon during the recent Synod for the New Evangelization for the Transmission of the Faith, which took place here in the Vatican during the month of October. But why don't you stay tuned?
When I became a parish priest, I was looking for tools, and a friend of mine told me about the Alpha Course, and at first I was quite suspicious about it because it's not Catholic. It didn't come from a Catholic background.
Came from an Anglican background.
Came from an Anglican church, and I'm originally from Scotland, and there was lots of posh London accents, and everything about it at first was made me pause. But I decided to look at it because I trusted the person who recommended it. And I liked the talks. And so from watching the talks, I decided to try the course. And there's a lot more to the course than just talks. It implies the use of a gathering for a meal that builds trust and openness. And then there's the talks, and then there's small groups. And after the first time I ran this in my small parish, one thing became evident to me, that of all the ways that I expended energy and resources to try to make a difference, this was the biggest, as we say in North America, bang for the buck. Taking a small amount of time and putting it into this program to see the fruit of changed lives and deepen faith, and people who were not members of the church coming to faith and having it change their lives, it was incredible. So that was the beginning. That was 10 years ago, and I've been running it ever since. And the more I run it, the more convinced I become of the efficacy of this program.
In your experience, what is it that draws people to Alpha? Are they people who feel confused or lost in today's society? Are they people who search for God, for a glimmer of hope, guidance perhaps?
One of the interesting things about Alpha is that it attracts a diverse group of people from very different places. Right now in my present parish, we're running four different Alpha courses, one at lunchtime, one for young mothers. We're running a Friday night course with 180 people. Now, we've got the stats for this course. One-third are non-churchgoers, two-thirds do go to church. For many of the people who are going to church, they're looking for something deeper. The course has been recommended to them by a friend. For the people who are non-church people, it's a wide variety. Sometimes we have agnostics, sometimes atheists, people who were raised in the church but have fallen away, people who are curious, people who are suspicious. It never ceases to amaze me that Alpha can bring together such a diverse group of people. What is it about the Alpha Course that somehow makes it successful in speaking to these different people? I think it has to do with the kind of free, non-judgmental environment that we seek to establish in the course. Very interesting that when you come together for the meal, it's very much the way that Jesus encountered people. He had meals with them, and the meal is a time for free discussion. We try to avoid topics of faith. And then the talk takes place where there's a teaching. The content of the talks are basically what we would call the basic kerygma. And then we move into small groups.
So it's a gospel.
It's a basic, very, very basic. Because remember, Alpha was primarily designed for those who are outside of the church. Not as a faith formation program for people already in the church, but to reach people who are entirely outside of the church. So it's the basic gospel message. Who is Jesus? Why did he die? Who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? How do I pray? Why should I read the scriptures? One thing that always amazes me, you know, I'm a priest. I've got a theology degree. I've been a priest for 15 years. I've done the Alpha Course 10 times, and I'll sit there and listen to the talks, and I'm built up. I get re-energized and excited, and there's nothing like going back to the basics. If you ask any professional athlete about why it is that they're good, it's because they go back to the basics again and again and again and again. Sometimes in the church, it's when we get very haughty and we think we know the basics and we don't have to go back there. That's when we begin to run into trouble. So the content of the talks are the basics of the faith, basically the content of the creed. And then we move into small groups. And the dynamic of small groups is very interesting. It's not teacher-student model. It is a host-guest. And the small group leader is a facilitator who facilitates discussion. And it's very important that there be an atmosphere created where people feel free to say anything at all. And when that atmosphere happens, when people realize I can be totally honest and I can say, I think this religion stuff is a load of rubbish, or I don't believe this, or I don't believe that. And
but they want to say that, though.
They want to say it. But as soon as they know that they can say it and they're not going to be judged or thrown out, all of a sudden something happens. And as the weeks go on, a dialogue begins to take place. The talk is where they listen and receive the teachings of the faith, and in the small groups they get to give their opinion. And within that environment, as week by week goes by and trust is built up and friendships begin to form, the message of the gospel begins to sink in. By the time we have the retreat weekend, which is focused on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, in a sense, we've created a space for God to come and work, and that's when lives begin to be changed.
What do people find most difficult to believe in, do you think, in your experience of listening
to
people?
Yeah, I think...
The Holy Spirit, is it easy for people to believe in the Holy Spirit?
I think it is. I mean, we're in an age that's fascinated by spirituality, and it's amazing in an age of unbelief exactly what people are prepared to believe. If you think about all of the New Age things that people believe, it's actually quite remarkable, some of the absolutely irrational things that people say, intelligent people say that they believe in. So people are ready to believe. I wouldn't say people have a problem believing in the Holy Spirit. What people are suspicious of in our postmodern era is basically any systematic belief or any particular worldview that has an absolute truth claim. I think that is the most difficult thing. To say that Christ is the, you know, in theological terms, the fullness of the revelation of God, that Christ is the way, that somehow Christ is unique, that is probably the most difficult thing. And one of the questions that people often ask then is, well, what about other religions, people of other faiths? It's probably the single most difficult thing. And then making the leap then, of course, into the church as well, because the goal of evangelization is not just to bring people to Christ, it's to bring people to the Eucharist, it's bring people into the bosom of the church. And so that final step sometimes is a difficult one for people as well.
They feel free to make that step. They don't feel coerced or anything like that.
That's the key thing. And it's got to be free. I always say that on our first week of Alpha, when we even invite people to come, we say, you know, come for 1 week. And if you like it, come back the next week.
It's a learning experience apart from anything else.
That's right. People come with suspicion. They think, okay, there's an agenda. They're out to get me. They're going to drug the food. And when people realize, okay, these are normal.
But they do come, though.
They do come. These are normal human beings. I had an email just a few weeks ago. A man in our parish, his wife doesn't go to church and is very kind of suspicious, a bit hostile. And after coming to a Christmas mass, she said to her husband, I think I'm ready to try the Alpha course. And the first night of the course, she almost canceled. She almost didn't come. But when she did come, she was met with such a welcoming environment, and it was relaxed, and there was a sense that there's no agenda here, that her experience entirely changed, and she went home. And her husband told me she's now no longer coming next week to please me. Now she really wants to come, and he's just so excited that it's the beginning of a spiritual journey for her that's going to change their home. That sense of freedom and non-coercion allowed her to experience that.
You're here at the time of the synod for the new evangelization. How are you involved with the synod?
Well, I'm kind of just hanging on to the coattails of the synod. We're here with the other members of the Global Catholic Board. So these are Catholics throughout the world. We meet once or twice a year to talk about strategies of how we can advance Alpha within the Catholic Church, how we can propose it as a tool for the new evangelization. So Alpha was named an official observer, and two of the members of our board are in this synod hall. So the other board members came, and we've been spending 4 days basically setting up meetings with bishops and key lay people.
So it's a wonderful opportunity to network
in the
good sense of the word.
There's a lot of that happening. As soon as the bishops come out of the chamber, there's networking taking place all over, and especially around a good meal. I have to believe that. If you're a Catholic, if you're a Christian, you must believe that God can bring forth water from the desert. And we don't have to be eating sand forever. And so we've got to be ready for that day when the spring will come forth.
So we'll get out of this spiritual desertification Pope Benedict XVI always talks about.
You look at the history of the people of Israel, the history of the church, it's the constant sine curve, you know, up and down of decline and renewal, decline and renewal. In the Middle Ages, you saw it in the decline and renewal of the monastic traditions. We're at a period of decline, but wherever there is decline and dying, there is always resurrection close behind. And God is always doing a new thing, as it says in the scriptures, "Behold, I am doing a new thing." And there are wonderful movements and organizations doing wonderful work, and Alpha is one of them. I just want to add this, that it's very interesting that a lot of renewal that's present in the church today is coming through the movements. As a parish priest, I've always struggled with that in some way, because I believe that people have gone to movements, nothing against movements, the movements have given so much to the church, but people have, in a sense, gone to the movements because they haven't found the sustenance in community necessary to sustain their faith within their parishes. And really, the goal of parishes should be to be so vibrant and so life-giving that we make the movements obsolete. And the interesting thing about Alpha is that it's not a movement. It's done in the local church. And although it comes from a non-Catholic source, when it's run in a Catholic context, it's a Catholic program. People who are outside the church, when you take your program, they go into the RCIA, they become Catholics. And so in that sense, it's rooted in the local church and is not a movement. That's what makes it unique in terms of what's going on right now in the church. When I became a parish priest, I was looking for tools, and a friend of mine told me about the Alpha Course, and at first I was quite suspicious about it because it's not Catholic. It didn't come from a Catholic background.
Came from an Anglican
church, and I'm originally from Scotland, and there was lots of posh London accents, and everything about it at first was made me pause. But I decided to look at it because I trusted the person who recommended it. And I liked the talks. And so from watching the talks, I decided to try the course. And there's a lot more to the course than just talks. It implies the use of a gathering for a meal that builds trust and openness. And then there's the talks, and then there's small groups. And after the first time I ran this in my small parish, one thing became evident to me, that of all the ways that I expanded energy and resources to try to make a difference, this was the biggest, as we say in North America, bang for the buck. Taking a small amount of time and putting it into this program to see the fruit of changed lives and deepen faith, and people who were not members of the church coming to faith and having it change their lives, it was incredible. So that was the beginning. That was 10 years ago, and I've been running it ever since. And the more I run it, the more convinced I become of the efficacy of this program.
In your experience, what is it that draws people to Alpha? Are there people who feel confused or lost in today's society? Are there people who search for God, for a glimmer of hope, guidance perhaps?
One of the interesting things about Alpha is that it attracts a diverse group of people from very different places. Right now in my present parish, we're running 4 different Alpha courses, one at lunchtime, one for young mothers. We're running a Friday night course with 180 people. Now, we've got the stats for this course. 1/3 are non-church goers, 2/3 do go to church. For many of the people who are going to church, they're looking for something deeper. The course has been recommended to them by a friend. For the people who are non-church people, it's a wide variety. Sometimes we have agnostics, sometimes atheists, people who were raised in the church but have fallen away, people who are curious, people who are suspicious. It never ceases to amaze me that Alpha can bring together such a diverse group of people. What is it about the Alpha Course that somehow makes it successful in speaking to these different people? I think it has to do with the kind of free, non-judgmental environment that we seek to establish in the Course. Very interesting that when you come together for the meal, it's very much the way that Jesus encountered people. He had meals with them, and the meal is a time for free discussion. We try to avoid topics of faith. And then the talk takes place where there's a teaching. The content of the talks are basically what we would call the basic kerygma. And then we move into small groups.
So it's a gospel.
It's a basic, very, very basic. Because remember, Alpha was primarily designed for those who are outside of the church. Not as a faith formation program for people already in the church, but to reach people who are entirely outside of the church. So it's the basic gospel message. Who is Jesus? Why did he die? Who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? How do I pray? Why should I read the scriptures? One thing that always amazes me, you know, I'm a priest. I've got a theology degree. I've been a priest for 15 years. I've done the Alpha Course 10 times, and I'll sit there and listen to the talks, and I'm built up. I get re-energized and excited, and there's nothing like going back to the basics. If you ask any professional athlete about why it is that they're good, it's because they go back to the basics again and again and again and again. Sometimes in the church, it's when we get very haughty and we think we know the basics and we don't have to go back there, that's when we begin to run into trouble. So the content of the talks are the basics of the faith, basically the content of the creed. And then we move into small groups, and the dynamic of small groups is very interesting. It's not teacher-student model. It is a host-guest. And the small group leader is a facilitator who facilitates discussion. And it's very important that there be an atmosphere created where people feel free to say anything, anything at all. And when that atmosphere happens, when people realize I can be totally honest and I can say, I think this religion stuff is a load of rubbish, or I don't believe this, or I don't believe that. And
but they want to say that, then.
They want to say it. But as soon as they know that they can say it and they're not going to be judged or thrown out, all of a sudden, something happens. And as the weeks go on, a dialogue begins to take place. The talk is where they listen and receive the teachings of the faith, and in the small groups, they get to give their opinion. And within that environment, as week by week goes by and trust is built up and friendships begin to form, the message of the gospel begins to sink in. By the time we have the retreat weekend, which is focused on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, in a sense, we've created a space for God to come and work, and that's when lives begin to be changed.
What do people find most difficult to believe in, do you think, in your experience of listening
yeah,
to people?
Yeah, I think...
The Holy Spirit, is it easy for people to believe in the Holy Spirit?
I think it is. I mean, we're in an age that's fascinated by spirituality, and it's amazing in an age of unbelief exactly what people are prepared to believe. If you think about all of the New Age things that people believe, it's actually quite remarkable, some of the absolutely irrational things that people say, intelligent people say that they believe in. So people are ready to believe. I wouldn't say people have had a problem believing in the Holy Spirit. What people are suspicious of in our postmodern era is basically any systematic belief or any particular worldview that has a absolute truth claim. I think that is the most difficult thing. To say that Christ is the, you know, in theological terms, the fullness of the revelation of God, that Christ is the way, that somehow Christ is unique, that is probably the most difficult thing. And one of the questions that people often ask then is, well, what about other religions, people of other faiths? It's probably the single most difficult thing. And then making the leap then, of course, into the church as well, because the goal of evangelization is not just to bring people to Christ, it's to bring people to the Eucharist, it's bring people into the bosom of the church. And so that final step sometimes is a difficult one for people as well.
They feel free to make that step. They don't feel coerced or anything like that.
That's the key thing. And it's got to be free. I always say that in our first week of Alpha, when we even invite people to come, we say, you know, come for 1 week. And if you like it, come back the next week.
It's a learning experience apart from anything else.
That's right. People come with suspicion. They think, okay, there's an agenda. They're out to get me. They're going to drug the food. And when people realize, yeah, okay, these are normal.
But they do come, though.
They do come. These are normal human beings. I had an email just a few weeks ago. A man in our parish, his wife is doesn't go to church and is very kind of suspicious, a bit hostile. And after coming to a Christmas Mass, she said to her husband, I think I'm ready to try the Alpha course. And the first night of the course, she almost canceled. She almost didn't come. But when she did come, she was met with such a welcoming environment, and it was relaxed, and there was a sense that there's no agenda here, that her experience entirely changed, and she went home. And her husband told me she's now no longer coming next week to please me. Now she really wants to come, and he's just so excited that it's the beginning of a spiritual journey for her that's going to change their home. That sense of freedom and non-coercion allowed her to experience that.
You're here at the time of the synod for the new evangelization. How are you involved with the synod?
Well, I'm kind of just hanging on to the coattails of the synod. We're here with the other members of the Global Catholic Board. So these are Catholics throughout the world. We meet once or twice a year to talk about strategies of how we can advance Alpha within the Catholic Church, how we can propose it as a tool for the new evangelization. So Alpha was named an official observer, and two of the members of our board are in this synod hall. So the other board members came, and we've been spending 4 days basically setting up meetings with bishops and key lay people.
So it's a wonderful opportunity to network in the good sense of the word.
There's a lot of that happening. As soon as the bishops come out of the chamber, there's networking taking place all over, and especially around a good meal. I have to believe that if you're a Catholic, if you're a Christian, you must believe that, that God can bring forth water from the desert. And we don't have to be eating sand forever. And so we've got to be ready for that day when the spring will come forth.
So we'll get out of this spiritual desertification Pope Benedict XVI always talks about.
You look at the history of the people of Israel, the history of the church, it's the constant sine curve, you know, up and down of decline and renewal, decline and renewal. In the Middle Ages, you saw it in the decline and renewal of the monastic traditions. We're at a period of decline, but wherever there is decline and dying, there is always resurrection close behind, and God is always doing a new thing, as it says in the scriptures, "Behold, I am doing a new thing." And there are wonderful movements and organizations doing wonderful work, and Alpha is one of them. I just want to add this, that it's very interesting that a lot of renewal that's present in the church today is coming through the movements. As a parish priest, I've always struggled with that in some way, because I believe that people have gone to movements, nothing against movements, the movements have given so much to the church, but people have, in a sense, gone to the movements because they haven't found the sustenance in community necessary to sustain their faith within their parishes. And really, the goal of parishes should be to be so vibrant and so life-giving that we make the movements obsolete. And the interesting thing about Alpha is that it's not a movement. It's done in the local church. And although it comes from a non-Catholic source, when it's run in a Catholic context, it's a Catholic program. People who are outside the church, when you take your program, they go into the RCIA, they become Catholics. And so in that sense, it's rooted in the local church and is not a movement. That's what makes it unique in terms of what's going on right now in the church.
That was Father James Mallon from the parish of St. Benedict in Canada, speaking to us of the Alpha Project. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.